It's good to be here, like I said, and it's always an honor to speak for the Lord. And as I begin this morning, I would like to ask you a question. I want you to ask yourself, what kind of plan do you and God have for the rest of your life? Do you have one? Do you have a goal? Do you have a target that you're aiming for? Or are we just living aimlessly in our service to the Lord? Hopefully we have a goal. Hopefully we have some kind of plan. And I know some of you do. But if you don't, you probably won't accomplish much of anything, if anything. That's how it works. And I remember a goal that Audrey herself shared with me years ago. Every time I used to go out to the lake and fish, I would stop and see Audrey either before I went out or after. And she told me one time when she was young, she already had Don and Bill, her sons. She was very ill, very sick, and she had to have this procedure, this operation done. And I'm not going to go into detail, but she did. And it was amazing that they were able to accomplish something like that back in the day. I want to say this was back in the 40s or 50s. Do you know what I'm talking about, Bill? And I remember her telling me that she prayed to God that she just at least wanted to live long enough to raise her kids. And of course, we know the rest of the story, don't we? And now, what is she, 96, is it? 95, and she's still around. Dale Manning, none of you know him. His goal in this September is to run a race for hundreds of miles to raise money for the sick children at St. Jude's Hospital. I am going to mention him and discuss him, this gentleman, a little bit more later on in my lesson. Those are just two of the kinds of examples, people that God's looking for, that God wants, that have that kind of an attitude. Looking for people who don't grow tired of doing good. In Romans 13:11, it tells us, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." This was Paul in a letter to the Romans. And I'm sure that if Paul wrote a letter to Dowagiac or the Lord's church anywhere, or if he was there speaking, he would give the same advice. But you know what happens? Some get caught up in other things too. Mark 4 and 19 tells us, "And the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in, choke the world, and it becomes unfruitful." The temptations that we face, that's what I want to talk about this morning. I'm not going to talk about maybe the temptations we normally think of, but the ones that are sneaky, they're subtle, they don't seem to be so harmful. Sometimes we get the idea of retiring from God's work too early. There is danger of retiring too soon or quitting too soon. Listen to what Malachi 1 and 13 says. Way back in the Old Testament, all will be tempted to feel they are growing tired of it all. Have you ever felt that way? Some people burn out and they think they need a vacation from God. Some start to travel. They don't want to be tied down. And they slowly begin to drift away from God and not even realize it. That's how sin is. It's so subtle. And in time, many don't feel like they're a part of the Lord's church anymore. They've lost their connection with God. They're like a train that comes off the track. This past Christmas, I got the train out, put it around the tree. Brenda bought me this train years ago. You know how it is when you get old, you forget. I didn't even know I had it. I forgot. And she told me, yeah, you got one in the closet somewhere. So now the grandkids are at that age where, you know, it's really fun. Because I don't care if they're boys or girls. They love train around the tree. They love trains. And so I enjoyed so much the grandkids when they would come. And I'd give them the remote control and they'd make it, you know, doot, doot. And they'd make it chug, chug, chug. And they'd make it stop and they'd make it back up and they'd make it go fast. And, you know, and you know how they are. They just pick up on that stuff so fast. And sometimes they're so curious, they want to touch it, you know. And sometimes the train comes off the track. And they know. And if they can't get it on track, they want Papa to help them put the train back on the track. And that's what it is like with so many in the Lord's church. We get off track and we're not going to go anywhere. But getting back to this subject of retiring too early. You remember Eli in the Old Testament? Eli was one of the 15 judges. Do you remember the 15 judges, some of you that were here back in the 70s? Brother Paul Savage came and he taught us that memory stuff. 15 judges was one of them that we memorized. Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Abimelech, all the way through Eli, Samuel. Eli was one of those. And he trusted, he had a problem. He trusted in his irresponsible sons. He tolerated their abuses. People got to where they couldn't stand to come to the temple and worship because they couldn't stand to be around them anymore. You ever know anybody like that in church? I know none of you know anybody like that. Well, they're everywhere. They show up in every congregation sometime or another, don't they? Years back at Current Road, we had a particular individual that would cause trouble and static, run people off, especially new people. They'd meet her, boy, they wouldn't come back. One Sunday, she came after me. At the time, I was teaching the young teens Sunday school for quite some time. And she had a son that was in that class. And she used to bring some other kids along with him to church. And many times, she was late. And it's not the kid's fault. But one particular Sunday, she was so late that it was just not enough time to really get your material out and present it. So I wouldn't have a class. And she got angry. And between Bible study, that time period, about 15 minutes, and church, you know, she went all around and told everybody she could about how angry she was with me. Is that what the Bible tells us to do when you have aught against your brother, to go tell everybody? No, we know better than that. But we have people that will do that. And not only that, this is how Satan is, because he sets up everything as perfect as he can to stack the odds against us, to do as much damage as he can to the Lord's church. And she comes, and that particular Sunday, I was standing in the aisle of the foyer greeting. I was one of the greeters that morning, handing out the flyers and greeting the people as they would come in. And she attacked me right there, real loud, so everybody could hear. That's how Satan does things. And I looked at her calmly, and I said, "This is not the time or the place to discuss this situation. But to be fair to you, I will be glad to go to the elders behind closed doors and let you present your case against me and let them handle this the way they see fit." And she didn't want anything to do with that. Oh, don't go there. You got to understand, she had a father that was one of the elders. And later he came and he apologized to me for the way she acted. And you know, these boys, back to Eli and his boys, they were running off people from the temple because of the way they were acting. And so this is what God does. This is how God handles it in 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, verses 11 through 13. We read where God told about the price that Eli would pay for knowing his son's sins and not restraining them. There's a penalty. Gotta get you. Especially when we know better. So let me now share God's cure for early retirement or quitting too soon. In Matthew 24 and 13, it says, "We are to remember our responsibility to finish strong. Not take a vacation. Not let up unless our health has really got us down so much." That's common sense. 1 Timothy 6 and 12 says we are to struggle to remain faithful to God. That's what it takes. You know, Christianity's not for wimps, is it? It's not for wimps. You got to be tough sometimes. It's tough being a Christian sometimes that is real faithful in a world full of temptations. But God tells us in so many words that it's more than worth it. Don't stack your fortunes on earth, but put them in heaven. You just can't imagine the reward. We need to keep going on strong because there are still others yet to be saved. Mark 16, verses 15 through 16. And we also need to search for sources of inspiration wherever we can find them. And I would like to share a few stories, beautiful stories, I think, of people who wouldn't retire or quit. When we think about the apostles, outside of Judas Iscariot, of course. Think about these guys. Every one but one, all but one, were killed over their faith in Jesus Christ. They were willing to lose their life. Only one died of natural causes, according to what I've read in history. How about Jesus Christ himself? You can't talk about people who wouldn't quit or retire too soon and not talk about Christ. He had every reason to quit. Every reason. We could go on all day on how he was treated, how he was betrayed. But from the start, you remember, he dealt with the temptations of Satan in the wilderness after he was fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine how tough that was? He had to put up with his chosen ones from time to time from these petty little arguments, like the one over who's going to sit at the right hand of the throne when they get to heaven. During the time when Jesus is lamenting over his death soon. And how about the Garden of Gethsemane? You know. Jesus, it says, in deep distress, he's sweating bullets. He's praying, let this cup pass from me, if you will. And he keeps finding his chosen ones falling asleep when he's asked them to stay awake and keep watch. It don't sound like they lost any sleep that night. And then the cross. We know about that, don't we? But he didn't quit on us, did he? He knew we didn't get it too good. He knew what we needed. And he was going to go all the way. And he did. And I thank God that he went all the way. Here in this congregation, there are people who refuse to quit, who refuse to retire. And you've kept the doors open. And the Lord's church is here in Dowagiac still. Think about how many congregations not too many years ago that used to be, and they're gone. Some people died, and some people threw in the hat, and some people quit. And the doors are closed, and they don't exist anymore. But you didn't do that. In a town like Dowagiac, where it is a tough field to get people to listen to the true gospel of Jesus Christ, because they don't care, so many. You're still here. And it's a breath of fresh air to see new faces here. God bless you. Another story of someone who wasn't a quitter. They call him the walking man. You ever hear of the walking man? His name, James Robertson. Works in Detroit. Has a factory job there for many years. He makes, listen to this, he makes just a little over $400 gross a week. Back in 2005, his old Honda dies on him. His car quits. He didn't have JR around to fix it for cheap. See, we're blessed in that. Rain, snow, hot, cold, you name it, he walks to work and back a total of 21 miles a day. He has not missed a day in 10 years. He takes a bus a little of the way, but the buses don't run the route that he has to take fully. So he has to end up walking 8 miles to work, part of the way on the bus, and 13 miles home, which is your 21 miles. Some college student got a hold of this story. He put it out online to raise money to get Mr. Robinson off the road, off his feet, out of the weather, and shorten his long days. In the first hour, he raised $200. In 3 days, $30,000 was raised. People offered to give him their car. There were dealerships that offered new Fords, new Chevys, new Hondas. And somebody had stated that it was more than giving him a car and keys and cash in his pocket. So a board was organized to have his money managed. Car insurance in Detroit area, you have to understand, I didn't know this. Car insurance in the Detroit area is way expensive. We know car insurance is expensive anyway, right? Well, get this. It was figured that it would cost him $2,200 for 6 months for car insurance. And you know what Mr. Robertson said? He said, that insurance thing, it might be tough, but I think I can do that. But he went on to say this, and I want you to get this. He says, like my dad used to say, tough times don't last, but tough people do. Tough people with God's help is what it takes in a world today to be a real child of God. In a world today full of the temptations we face. And it's worse in other countries. Next one I want to talk about is, I call him the running man, Dale Manning. He lives in Missouri. As kids, we grew up together. We played baseball so many times. We were never on the same team, though, but we did other things together. And I got to tell you, he and his family has always been a godly family. And I always admired him on how he lived such a clean childhood in such a very sinful neighborhood that we lived in back in Benton Heights. But he was raised by special parents that looked to God as their example. And I admired that. And I think that stuck with me through all them young years until finally I caught on and was saved. Dale told me not long ago that he was going to retire from his hospital job. And I don't know if he works there in Poplar Bluff or Cape Girardeau. It's somewhere in there. But He wants to do something very special in his life. You know, John Clayton preaches all the time about service to mankind. Well, listen to this. Dale plans to visit St. Jude's Hospital. He wants to visit many of the sick children that are there. And in September of this year, he is going to come to Michigan and run a race from Hartford, Michigan to Poplar Bluff, Missouri. 30 miles a day he's going to run. He's about 65 years old. To raise money for those kids at St. Jude's. I told him that he was already a hero to me as far as I was concerned, because him just attempting this accomplishment. And he says, Jim, I'm nothing special. But with God's help, I'll do this. Those are the few of the beautiful stories of people who refuse to quit or retire from God, not drifting away with the temptations of this world. Most of us, if not every one of us, have family that used to come to church, don't we? They quit. And it hurts. And they don't come anymore. They're not here. And think about it. If we just had every family in here, just had one member, how many more seats would be filled? And they don't care about church, and they're not coming. And they'd rather sit home and watch TV and all go to hell. And you know, we don't want to hear that anymore, because we have become a pampered generation. We don't want to hear that kind of talk. But that's the road that they're on. That's the reality of it. But the bottom line is that people quit. And you know it. And it's just that simple. That's what happens to them when they do that. And remain in that situation. And so again, I ask you this morning, as I did as I opened this lesson, what kind of plan do you and God have from today to the rest of your life? I know some of you do. But if not, church, it's time to wake up. Because time is short. And soon, we're not going to be here. This is not a scare tactic, because scare tactics do not last. You have to love the Lord to serve Him always. And care about how He loved us and did so much for us. Everyone here, I believe, knows the invitation and what it means and what it's for. And Carl has got the invitation song. And he's going to lead us now in that invitation. And if any of you are subject to it, don't sit there and wait any longer. Do something about it while together we stand and sing.